Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I'm your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks. And tonight we have a very special show for you as we have joining us Barbara Wythe. And Barbara is an award-winning author, composer, workshop facilitator, inspirational speaker, and a psychic channel who has been working with a group of souls she refers to as the Party of 12, who are headed up by Albert Einstein. She has authored 5 books on metaphysics and is joining us again to share with you a rare opportunity. Barbara joined us back on May 27th, and Solomon and Einstein had a lot of fun speaking with Barbara. So Stephanie asked Barbara if she would return to our show and channel Einstein for us. So tonight, for the second portion of our program, we will have the delight of speaking with Einstein through Barbara. So thank you for offering us this rare opportunity, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back on. It was a lot of fun last time.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
So I'm just wondering, what have you been working on since we last spoke in May?
Well, I was doing a series of what I called a reboot this year in my own podcast, which are available on my website, partyof12.com, partyof12.com. And the intention of doing this work was to really strengthen the understanding and the practical application of some of these very broad and grand Einsteinian ideas that have come through my channeling and then therefore into the workshops and the teaching and training through the years. And it seemed like this year was truly, of all the years that I've been alive, one of the most challenging globally, locally, personally, for the planet, and I think for humanity. So it was really my intention to provide people with, just like I said, practical application of some kind of broad and far-reaching concepts. So that's been the focus of my work this year. I also, as you mentioned, I'm a composer and a performer, and I put together a reunion of one of my old bands that was a trio that I worked with in the 70s with Fred and Lonnie, Fred Archer and Lonnie Knight. And we put the tour together and began rehearsals, and Lonnie passed away.
Oh.
So Fred and I decided to go forward with the tour. We had about 3 weeks in August. So a lot of my summer has been, I put aside the reboot program a bit, and have been focusing on music again, because music was my first profession for many, many years. I was a professional musician full-time. And so that was extremely rewarding, and it was an interesting kind of bringing together of my music life and my ability to speak with those who had passed on life, because Lonnie was present all the way along the way, and really revealed or showed himself to many people who were involved in the tour. And so that was really intriguing, and it felt very good to feel like he was there with us.
Well, it's amazing too how tapping into your creative side or sides can bring forth that connection and that alignment. And is that part of what you're teaching others through your own experience, that, you know, when you're feeling like life is a challenge and you're being sort of tested in a sense and things aren't moving as smoothly as you would perhaps like them to, that when you go back to the things that you're passionate about, as for you, music, it then helps realign you on so many different levels?
Yes, that is very true. And also that really in the end, what we have in life is our relationship to it. And we control our relationship to our lives. We can't control sometimes what goes on around us, what's happening to us, but that is our domain of thought, feeling, senses, about how we, and then how we choose to respond to life. And one of those responses is something I personally have always drawn on, as you have said, is going to my passion and going to my creativity and exercising it. And it's always the key for me, is the passion and the creativity will come up with something that I couldn't have thought of when I was in, you know, the limited thinking or the difficult emotion.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so true. We've been hearing that nonstop, really. It's been a solid foundational message that we've been getting since Stephanie started channeling, and that's about following your passions. And really, it's once you do that and you're in that place, that's when your creativity, that's when your life just flows and the ideas come to you, and you decide from that point, you know, how to navigate based on how it feels. And when it comes to passions and the fact that you were mentioning that you find that this, you were saying that this was seeming to be the hardest year that you've had, and you're teaching people to navigate through that. Is that one of the lessons that you're talking about?
Yes. And actually, for me personally, the events of my life this year really haven't been the hardest year of my life. But as I look at the world struggle, and I look at people struggle with, well, just the political situation, and how do we approach something that's so out of our control but has so much influence on us, and seeing a lot of people who are just sort of waking up to the challenges of living in 2017. And I don't know about you guys, but in my spiritual development, it was about 2007, I think, that the Crimson Circle, who I was working with, channeling at events with, did an event called the Quantum Leap. And it was all about that we were making this quantum leap. And for a couple of years after that, my life included, and everyone that was my client, things just fell apart. People were going crazy. They were losing everything. People were dying. Finances were divorces. Everything was happening. And in that time, a lot of the message was about a preparation, sort of, to put it simply, to learn how to live in the world but not of it. And when I came out of it, I was a complete, I had addressed lifetimes of issues, and probably lifetimes of issues, and really got a very strong footing. But this year, I'm seeing people who may not be particularly spiritually inclined, you know, much more pragmatic or practical, political, really facing some of those challenges of how do you live in the world when it's kind of coming down around you. And I feel like I've developed a pretty strong base and an understanding in my own life of my own spiritual practice, so that I'm not being devastated by the events that are going on around me, like so many people I see are struggling. Not that I'm better than anybody else. I just feel like I went through a lot of that process earlier on, and now I can reach a hand and maybe inspire others to also find that relationship. And, you know, it goes back to mostly ourselves. Are you going to be passionate about your relationship to yourself, and what choices are you going to make in your life to exercise that creativity, to find self-care, to live that spiritual path that is needed right now?
And so in your opinion, Barbara, why do you think it is that things seem to be sort of bubbling up to the surface now, and people that aren't necessarily, as you say, spiritually inclined or kind of heading in that direction consciously, where do you think that's coming from? What's promoting that?
Well, if I just had to quickly say, I would say that the development of the human being through all of time has led us to this place where now there's, what, 7 billion of us, 8 billion of us, conscious, sentient beings that are still part of one organism. And the idea is this, I believe that the idea of life after life is for us to transcend the, how would you say, kind of the human foibles of being on the planet as a human being and achieve some kind of transcendence. I think that is the nature of the human spirit, of human life, why we keep coming back over and over, and that we've reached this critical mass of people who have been bringing this information and consciousness forward, that is then sort of bringing that awareness to how life is manifesting, if that makes any sense. I think all the turmoil that we see is a reflection of this kind of chaotic, huge shift in human consciousness. And if I look at my several years where my life disintegrated and I lost everything, and what I had to do to work my way through it and how it strengthened me, I think it's a reflection of the macrocosm as well. We simply have to learn to get along or we won't be here.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one it's going to be. I mean, I'm an optimist, but I also know that, you know, life is kind of a grand experiment, and we may or may not be able to survive ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. You mentioned critical mass. So when it comes to critical mass, in terms of like the 100th monkey in a sense, do you think that it's kind of at that point where we've turned things around and there's enough of us heading towards the positive where the entire collective is going to shift and the rest of it that we're seeing is just the turmoil allowing that shift to happen?
I personally think that there is a very unseen force of people that you never read about in the news, that you don't get physically connected to, that you aren't even aware that are there, who are pushing that critical mass into that realm of love. And so I kind of agree that more and more are becoming aware of that shift. I just don't know quite how it will play out. You know, I've always kind of imagined that if we were going to go through this kind of shift in the planet where all the systems that are corrupted have to come down. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that the corrupted systems are coming down and people are clinging to fossil fuels and clinging to a government that apparently is controlled by corporate interests that are completely out of touch with the Earth itself and the planet. And these things have to come down so that the new systems, practical systems, that this great shift is bringing forward can then be rebuilt and become sustainable. And I think that's what we're seeing. But for example, one of the things I think is that people are, you know, of course, very few people that I personally know like the president or support and are appalled by a lot of what's going on, but it's bringing a consciousness. People are standing up for love. Now, it isn't just assumed, it's people standing up and saying, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. And those are things that need to take place, I think.
No, I agree. And if you read between the lines, between a lot of the things that we've been hearing through Stephanie and Solomon, for example, and it's interesting that you mentioned that, but I agree, it's absolutely necessary. And most of us get so very comfortable, it can be pretty awful before we'll move. So it has to be right in our face, absolutely affecting us, completely brutal. And then we're like, oh my God, okay, we got to deal with this. And it's interesting that you mentioned critical mass, because I think that that's a part of it, because there's actually a formula for that. It's like the square root, the 1% of the square root of the population, you know, that's all you need to be on a positive track, and then everything shifts, you know.
So, well, and that, I think too, that's just, sorry to interrupt, but if that's talking about just physical human beings on the planet, you know, like, I'm curious, Barbara, do you think that since we're moving into, you know, hopefully, I feel like we're moving away from the old into the new, and along with that, we're going to see a lot of upheaval. While that's happening, do you feel like there's an increase in support from our non-physical friends through your own channeling and your own connections? Do you feel like there's an increase in intensity in terms of who's helping us and what we're asking for on a level that we may not be aware of from our logical mind?
You know, oddly enough, I might think the opposite. I might think that not as a way to punish us or abandon us, but this is our time as a human species to take control of our domain, to find our strength, to find our solid foundation in love. And I think they're always there. I mean, I know for me, I don't know about you and Solomon, but me and the party, they're there anytime I need to tap into them. But it's sort of like a parent of a teenager who, you know, sees their children making decisions that might not be best for them, but they know they have to let them make the decision, learn from the consequences, and then learn for themselves how to make different decisions. And I think that's maybe kind of what I think is going on in that area.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree that you know, I believe that spirit and our friends on the non-physical side they'll lead us to the trough, but obviously they can't force us to drink, and nor do they want to. That's not their purpose or their role. But I do feel as though as we're shifting, there's definitely been an increase, I feel, in a willingness and an openness from people to acknowledge that we do have friends and associates on the other side that we can access and we can communicate with and we can receive guidance from.
Yes, I agree with. I think people are now, people who would not have entertained the idea of talking to Einstein previously are now in that place, as you said, of you get so uncomfortable that you have to expand the part, you know, well, maybe I'll try this. And because of that, they're finding what they need. So that is, and I think the increase, if there's any increase from the our friends in the non-physical, it's a showering of love. You know, not necessarily stepping in or guiding us, or they're there, you know, you're going to have, they'll consult with me anytime. But it is this overwhelming love that, again, as a parent watching your teenage child struggle through making decisions, and you have to have this long view that in order to make this transition, it's going to be chaotic, but if you keep the long view, and visualize that your child's going to grow up to be this really great, healthy adult and do everything you can to support that. That's what I feel right now from them. This is overwhelming love.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree completely. Because when you boil it all down, that's what we're lacking in a lot of ways, and that's the thing we need the most.
Yes. Our decisions being made in love. And I, just as my own personal transformation, I recently started in a relationship with a man. And as you guys who are together know, you know, your partners trigger you the deepest a lot of times. And so while for 10 years I've been on my own and had gotten to a very, very strong, happy, happy place, there are challenges that are coming from being triggered by this closeness, this intimacy, and this expectation of another human being. And I'm rising to the occasion, which is so inspiring for me to find I can do this. And having triggers and then consciously using that energy in a different way, responding in a different way, taking action in a different way. And in a lot of ways, I think that's what's happening in the macrocosm too, with the general human race. We just are being challenged to respond and react and act differently to facilitate different outcomes.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And the one thing that we do know is that, or that I've been learning a lot about recently, and it's been scientifically proven now, is that it is our beliefs that create our perceptions, we create our reactions to every situation. So as we understand that, it takes a real awareness, a real inner awareness of our thoughts, our expressions, our behaviors, how others are triggering us is a big point of reflection for us. And if we use these tools, because that's really what they are, we can really make leaps and bounds within our own growth by identifying, if you've got turmoil stirring up, you have to ask yourself, you know, where's this coming from? What do I believe that's causing this? And really search within and decide for yourself if that's how you want to remain, you know, and you can really make those shifts and changes within yourself.
And that's all we can do.
That
as humans. I mean, we can go out and work for a political party or an environmental concern, or, I mean, we can all do that too. But this, I think, is the real change. And someone said, I saw a Facebook post the other day from my friend who said, you know, if we shipped all of the weapons to the moon, or if we got rid of all of the guns or all of the bombs, that wouldn't change the people who use them. And I think Einstein, when he was alive, had a quote that it's easier to denature plutonium than it is to change the hearts of men. So that work that we're talking about, I think, is the real work right now.
Yeah, I agree. And it is. And like you say, it's the only thing you can do. And you have to remember, say, for example, if you're involved, and I'm not suggesting one way is good and one way is not, just within our own mind, just to be aware of when you see the turmoil that's going on, for example, politically, and you decide to fight this, you decide that's it, I'm standing up to this, you really have to be aware of how you're placing, how you're battling with that, because when you're feeding energy, you're feeding energy. So really, it's more important to shift that within yourself, to not come from a place of anger, but to come from a place of compassion and understanding before you take on something that massive, because what you put out is what's being received. So if when we're thinking about shifting, my point is, I agree with you, it's the inner shift that's really going to make the difference in the long run. We have to take action and involve ourselves in the external world, because we're living a physical experience, so that's important. But when we're doing that, we have to be coming from a place of peace and harmony within ourselves first, I think.
Yeah. Well, and what would you say, how would you address that, Barbara?
I think that is true. And the hard lesson that I learned is that here I live in Lake Superior, on an island in Lake Superior. And several years ago, a corporation from Florida decided they were going to build this 22-mile open pit iron ore mine on the shores of the lake in our watershed. And there was a lot of I think political corruption that went on with it, politicians who were paid off. And I fought that mine. And I fought that mine without what you're talking about. It wasn't about creating this spiritual strength within me and coming from a place of love. It was about fighting the evil and standing in front of the evil and fighting the evil. And there was a lot, as in life, that happens that's both good and bad because of that. But the ultimate outcome was I got so sick. And I had to stop, because what good is my life if I'm going to fight the evil from that level that the evil is operating without having that spiritual base within myself? And as I got recovered, and we drove the mine out, so there was no mine, But then more threats, you know, the concentrated animal feed operations, 70,000 hog farm on the shore of Lake Superior. And now I fight it in a different way. Now I address it in a much different way that involves much more of what you were saying. And we got the CAFO out too, and I didn't have to fight the evil at the level the evil was doing. I could do it from a different space and a different mindset, which was much healthier for me in the long run too.
So can you elaborate on that for our listeners so that they have, oh, we're running out of time, but maybe just quickly, like what, some tangible examples for people. What shifts did you make?
One of the shifts I made was with the mining company, I defined them as evil. I condemned them. I judged them. I made a point to tell everyone how evil they were. In the case of the fighting the factory farm, I addressed the need for clean water. I educated about the processes of what they were going to do. Like they had this revolutionary way of processing manure where they wanted to just spray it in the air, which is insane.
Gross.
I really addressed my board members. It wasn't so much about naming them as evil and labeling them and judging them as it was about what do I need to do to support what I want, which is the clean water, which is people who are aware. And it was a lot less painful for me than how I had done it before.
So really, ultimately, what I'm hearing is finding a way of addressing concerns through the idea of cooperation, trying to come to mutual understanding that is beneficial to all.
Yes, but I think it's also appealing to the people who want to support these similar what's good for the whole, because clearly the CAFO people could have cared less. I couldn't, appealing to them was not going to work, but to appeal to the people who could support what was good for all of us and then inspire them to action, to either, you know, contact their board members or become educated, tell other people, understand what's going on, write letters to whatever. That was more useful than actually thinking I was going to negotiate and come to terms with the people who wanted to rain the insanity down upon us.
That's really, I know the way you describe it, that's really, you know,
The way it is.
You know, yeah. I really commend you for taking that approach. And I agree with you when you focus on the positive, even though you were fighting something, or at least even the word fighting seems so conflicting. But the idea was you were trying to create something for the positive. And when you do that, you can do that in a state of health. And when you're fighting something through negativity, it's always going to make you ill. So that's a really good point. But thank you so much for sharing that. But we're out of time for this portion of the program, Barbara. It goes so fast. Do you want to just let our audience know where they can find you?
Well, I am at Barbara With, BarbaraArawith.com. And there you'll see all my different offerings, including Party of One, Two, Party of 12.com is my Einstein stuff. Barb With is my music, and then I have some other fun things to explore there. So that's how you can get a hold of me.
Awesome. Well, everyone out there, stay tuned, and don't forget to check out BarbaraWith.com, as you will soon see in a moment exactly what the Party 12 is offering.
I'm so excited for this part.
Yeah, me too. As Barbara's going to channel for us today instead of Stephanie. So this will be really interesting. But stay tuned, and we'll be back with Barbara, Stephanie, and myself.
And Einstein. And whoever else comes through.
That's right. Stay tuned.
It is such an honor to welcome you to the circle today. And in this circle, there is a very large contingent of those of us who are in the non-physical, who are studying what is going on the planet right now, who are assisting with the transformation of the human heart. And as you have spoken of in the first part of your show, that this transformation of the human heart is perhaps one of the most important aspects of the changes that are going on right now in on the planet. And before we open for your questions and conversation, we got together and we all concurred that if there was one statement that we could make to you, to your listeners, about this change going on right now and a lot of the chaotic episodes that humans are dealing with right now, it would be this, is that in the root of the energy of human consciousness, there are what we call three human dimensions that really are three individual forms of energy that have three specific purposes that work together. And very simply, emotion, intuition, and intellect are these three human dimensions. And in the old paradigm, emotion, which is closest to the root of the source of who you are, would flow, and intuition then would arise from that. Intuition being the voice of God within you, directing you to take a step for the next, the most advantageous step for the good of the whole of whatever situation. And then intellect would define and perceive and then make decisions based on the individual's perception and how the operating system worked. So in other words, if someone came into the room, said something to you, an emotion was triggered, how that intellect was trained by culture to deal with that deep emotion would dictate what decision was made. So in this transformation that's happening in the human species, what's perhaps one of the most important ideas to bear in mind and to experiment with is that emotion is the fuel that is allowing you to have this human experience. And all spectrums of emotion are so important to embrace, to move through as an energy, to release. But it is what your intellect does with that emotion that will be the determining factor in the outcome of what your decision is going to be. So we want to encourage people to understand that this emotion, which has that passion in it, must move through your body to be healthy, happy, and whole. But your intellect can redefine that emotion and have a huge impact on what you then manifest, because if emotion is the fuel of manifestation, and say an anger or pain or sorrow or anything that has been labeled derogatory by culture comes through, you have an opportunity to redefine your relationship to it so that you can effectively move it through you. And much of what you're seeing on the planet today is this trapped emotion on the parts of billions of people suddenly breaking loose, suddenly coming up. And if you can find ways to redefine that emotion, to move it through while you're thinking thoughts for the highest good, while you're not projecting it, while you're not acting out in anger, then you're able to be a part of this great transformation, this human consciousness, and the critical mass that you're all going through right now. And you can really help in these small ways push this change forward in a personal level, as well as contributing to the global transformation. So With that said, we will open for any of your questions and conversations.
That's really amazing point to start out with. So first of all, I want to say thank you for being here with us today and for opening up the opportunity to have this conversation with you. And so since we're talking about the idea of emotions, intuition, and intellect, I personally think that's a really great perspective to take and definitely some food for thought for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of the people listening. So my question would be, where does intuition fall into that conversation?
Well, intuition becomes much more prevalent and apparent when you allow yourself to feel all of your feelings. Because the emotion is really the first part of this amazing mechanism of a human being. And when you deny emotion, then you're also denying the voice of emotion. And emotion is, in fact, your bit of God, so to speak. It's your compassion that is coming through. And so what happens now is emotion comes through, it hits all of these thoughts that are judging, then you're taking action from those judgmental thoughts that are not necessarily always for the good of the whole, and you don't have any space to hear what intuition is telling you. And it's telling you whether you hear it or not. So by separating emotion and processing emotion maybe through breath work and separating it from intellect and thereby examining what are the stories of your intellect and what are they telling you to do and changing that there, you create a space for this voice of God to rise up within you and be much more clear and much more direct. But as you said, you know, you can hear that voice, but it won't guarantee that you're going to make the decision to do what the voice of God tells you.
So I guess it's kind of like what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Is your intuition, what are you hearing first as a human being, your intuition or is it your emotions that you're recognizing first? Or is it dependent on the situation and the person?
Well, the way the structure is set up, emotion is first on the wave, then intuition it becomes in the evolution of that energy, there's the first dimension, one, the emotion, and then the second dimension is sound, so now you're hearing the voice of intuition. And then the third dimension is intellect, where now you're going to define it and make a decision around it. And then there is your observer of it. So in the technical structure, emotion comes first, intuition comes next, and then intellect. But in your perception of it and your witnessing of it, all of that can be one massive, chaotic ball of energy that you can't tell the difference between thoughts, feelings, or senses. In your perception of yourself. And that is what is unique and individual. So you may be somebody who can step into your witness, identify that you're having these thoughts that are judgmental or degenerative, and make the decision to change them there, make the decision to breathe your feelings rather than letting them inspire you to actions that you might regret, etc. While someone else may be completely unaware of any of that going on in our totally in a reactionary mode of what emotion is triggering them to what emotion is triggering intellectual thoughts that then are making them make decisions that may not be for the good of anyone. And that is very individual.
Right. So let's say, for example, I'm walking down the street, I'm going to my favorite coffee shop, I see a poster in the window, it catches my eye, I read it, and it evokes an emotion which then evokes a feeling of what I'm reading. From there, then the next thing would do was, before I internalize that on an intellectual level, the idea would be, what is my intuition telling me? Is that a workshop perhaps that I want to take from an intuitive level, or is it something that I want to stray away from?
In your moment of reading the poster, you have an opportunity to stop take a breath and inquire of, look for that intuitive message, what should I do? And you'll hear an impelling that could be any or all things, because sometimes people think the intuitive impelling is something that's going to tell you what to do next week. And it may be, but really the function of intuition is about present moment. It's about what to do in that present moment. So you might say, you might see that, you might have an emotion about it. Should I take that? And you ask yourself, and you might hear something like, inquire further.
Right.
It's a declarative statement that's going to give you an action to take that may not tell you the outcome. You know, like we all think you go to a psychic and they're intuitive and they're going to tell you what's going to happen next week, and that's going to give you some comfort in this moment. But it's really about developing a relationship to intuition that is guiding you in every moment of what is the next small baby step. Now, that leaves your intellect saying, well, that doesn't really tell me if I should take it or not. But it does tell you to inquire further.
Right.
Fair enough, yeah. Hello, and thank you for being here. I'd like to just go back to what you were saying when you first came on about our collective consciousness and everything that we're experiencing here in the world. Has our consciousness, with the billions of people on the planet, reached that point of critical mass where now there's enough of us in the positive, loving exploration of things, at least, maybe not in that perfect state, but at least in the exploration of it? Are we at that critical mass where now people who are just fast forwarding their progress via our connection as one?
Yes, this critical mass has been reached. However, as is true of the space-time reality, is that you are required to pass through time and space in order to have a human experience. And in this same sense, this critical mass has affected what you might call the seven generations, is that you may not see this today. You may see still the residual of destruction and war and greed and all the things that are revealing themselves. But the children who are coming onto the planet because of this critical mass are actually being programmed with different DNA, where the effect of that critical mass of consciousness raising is becoming a part of their birthright. And so you're seeing it already in the new generation of children that are being born. They're far more developed, far more capable, far more able to transcend what you personally growing up in a much more dual society. And they're going to bring that change to then what manifests on the planet. So it's a longer term, obviously, transformation in the physical world, but in the non-physical world, it's there, and it's very, very powerful right now, and people are feeling that. Are you not?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it actually made me it piqued my interest when I heard Barbara say it, and then I heard you say it. I'm like, okay, I need to ask about this, because it's something that's been on the forefront of my mind, whether that was my intuition saying that this is something that's happening now, or if it was just whatever, you know, picking up little pieces of what others are saying. But the whole idea of the critical mass to me is a very interesting topic, and the fact that the field and how we're all connected and how we're affecting each other on an energetic level and all these ideas to me are incredibly fascinating as a collective species.
Yes, and the other thing that's coming forth, that has to come forth for the human race, for the human species, is a transparency, is an authenticity, so that authenticity can be real. And you can always, in a manifestation on the physical, you can always bring back the planet to an individual. So just like a person who wasn't living an authentic life, was making decisions based on what they were taught as a child and what they think culture told them to do. They had to become authentic to see who they really were and to learn a new way to self-care and make decisions that was much more aligned to their emotion, intuition, and intellect, and aligning that to have the best life they can. And it's the same with the planet. And so a lot of the veil is being lifted on what appears to be, you know, all of these derogatory greed and destruction and war and bullying and all of the negative connotations, so that it can realign, so you can identify it, so that you can change it. If it's hidden, you can't get to it. And so that's a lot of what's being revealed right now. It's quite shocking, but it is the way to the transformation of the planet and the species, human species.
Well, this is very exciting.
It's exciting, and I think, you know, for some people it's also scary, and it's confusing, and it's creates a lot of angst and anxiety in people. So, you know, for people that are feeling that way, what advice would you give us in terms of dealing with the change in energy, and especially for those who are kind of new to these ideas and don't really have a clear sense of what's going on?
Well, we would say to everyone to take a long view. When you get into those times of anxiety, those times of fear, to take a long view. In other words, you were born into this time period to be a change agent. You came here specifically during this time period to help become the change. And what that means is your responsibility is to yourself, to the self-care of your psyche, to understanding your psyche, to be able to feel and breathe all that emotion as you release it into the flow, and then change your thinking process around that. And these are not easy words to say, in terms of we say them easily, but this is the hardest work a human can undergo, is to master your own domain. And in the very long run, humans are faced with their finite mortality, whether it's a beautiful consciousness that you live in, a peaceful world where you live, or a chaotic world, you're going to face that transition of letting go of your entire identity and transition into the non-physical. And that really, if we had to parboil it down to one issue of anxiety, that is a lot of what people are facing right now, is that anxiety of the destruction of the planet, thereby the destruction of the self and the physical self. And that is precisely what you're here to learn and to change and transform. So as you face a day, maybe you're terribly anxious about what's going on with North Korea, or maybe the environmental issues are hurting you, feel. First of all, let yourself feel. Let yourself absorb that energy. If there's tears, cry those tears. If there's anger, shout it out to the heavens. Let that energy flow, but then keep the highest thoughts, definitions, strive to find your spiritual place in the world, your meaning in this short, finite life that you have. And that's a big, tall order, but when you tackle that, when you begin to tackle that, you find your connection to God, because now you are treating yourself like a loving God would, to align your thoughts to the highest form of compassion and to let yourself move the deepest emotions through you and commit to being the most loving individual that you possibly can. as much kindness, as much truth and honesty and passion as you can muster in your life. And that is all you can do, really.
I think that's a really powerful statement, and something that really needs to be heard is the I feel like it's an urgency, really, for people to allow themselves to express their emotions and to be okay with doing that, which I believe comes back to the lesson of authenticity. And as people on the planet that are here to express ourselves, I think we've lost our way in the sense that we have become what everyone expects us to be. And one of my primary focuses on myself, as well as trying to share with others through teachings and workshops and whatnot, is to create a sense of authentic power, which in turn I think will remove a lot of our issues and our problems and our inner struggles and trials, because we're constantly feeling like we have a mask on. But when we feel comfortable enough within ourselves to express ourselves with a sense of being genuine and being truthful and honest about who we are, we then in turn are allowing those around us to express themselves in the same way. And if the whole planet was doing that, I think we'd come back to our roots, which are, you know, we are all one. We're all connected. We're here to share and to serve one another for the common good of all.
Yes, and it also will allow you to make decisions in your immediate world, not the conceptual world of North Korea or some place far away where there's some environmental damage or what have you. It'll put you in your own world, focused on what's truly in the present moment, who is truly there, and how are you responding to them? Because love will change the world. Decisions that you make in a loving, compassionate way have a much different effect and then consequently manifestation than anger. And that's not brain surgery. You know, if you walk into a room and scream at everyone, they're going to respond to you in one way. And if you walk into a room and love on people, they're going to respond to you in a different way. So you have a great deal of power in your own local universes to become that change and to become compassion and a commitment. And there's such a fulfillment of the human spirit when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it really is, like you say, the word fulfillment to me just is such a filling word.
It's fulfilling.
It's so fulfilling. Exactly. I just wanted to say we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to ask: is Solomon amongst the group today?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there a message? Sorry.
Go on.
I was just going to ask and get for Stephanie, from this unique perspective for her, before we ran out of time, if there was a message kind of from this perspective that Solomon would like to pass on to Stephanie.
Well, Solomon has been with us for a long time, part of the party for a long time, but then so many have. But the message today for you, particularly Stephanie, is a huge thank you. Huge thank you for your cooperation in bringing this voice to the planet, and a prediction that as you move through the next part of this year and towards 2018, that you're going to be given more opportunities and some very unique opportunities coming up to share our message in places that you might not think to go. So watch for these quote-unquote coincidental opportunities that come your way, and you might be thinking they might not be opportunities you jump at, but as you think them through, there'll be a risk involved, maybe an audience that isn't necessarily your key audience, but you're going to be given this opportunity to change hearts and minds in some very unusual places before the year's end. And so it's with great love that you have to know that you will be accompanied by throngs of angels and a great deal of observation on the part of the party as well.
Wow, that's really cool. I was tearful through most of that. It's definitely a different, it's different for me this way, and it's cool to be able to have you deliver that kind of message. And it doesn't surprise me that that I'll be thrown into the fire again. But I jump in knowing that I won't burn.
That's true.
And I jump in with confidence and with clarity in the messages that need to be delivered to the planet. So I thank you for the opportunity to be that messenger. Well, it's been such an amazing opportunity to speak with you and to listen to your voice and to listen to your take on where we're at in terms of the collective consciousness. And for me personally, I would like to offer my sincere gratitude, and I look forward to the next time that we're able to converse in this manner.
It is much our pleasure, and we'll close just by saying, again, reiterating, so much thanks on the part of all of us who are working tirelessly with you for your courage and your willingness to be a game changer, to be a culture changer. Not easy, but our love goes with you always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara. That was... it's so rewarding.
So this is a question that people always ask me, but now I'm going to ask you. Do you remember all of that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as much as I'll remember the entire hour. But yes, I'm very, very wide awake while it's happening.
Right. Yeah. That was...
And I know I told you this before, but... your channel of Einstein had a very profound effect on me, very profound. And I want to thank you for that. And I'm glad to hear you felt a resonance when Solomon was talking through me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to take me a little bit to digest that for sure. I'm sort of speechless, which is weird for me because I don't usually have a problem talking. But
that's true.
It reminds me of... it reminds me of the feeling that you would have reconnecting with someone who's passed away that you haven't heard from in a while. And
yes.
it's not that, and obviously, you know, like I channel Solomon often, but it's different. It's just a different, it's a different perspective. It's you bringing that message to me from your perspective, and it's a tough thing to describe. I'm pretty emotional right now, to be honest.
Well, and the way I described it was that when I channel Einstein, the actual resonance of the words are originating within me. And when you were channeling Einstein, they were not. They were originating within you, coming at me. And that was like this completely different dynamic of, wait a minute, those are the words. I know that's Einstein. But they're not originating in me and going outward. And it was quite a profound perception change.
Well, thanks so much for being here with us, Barbara, and thanks so much for bringing the party to us and giving all of us the opportunity to experience another perspective of, you know, self-empowerment, essentially.
Emotions, intuition, yeah. Intellect.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Well, it's been my pleasure. So I hope to see you again soon.
Yes, we'll have to have you back on. Spiritually Naked is going to be off the air until March of 2018, so Stephanie can take some time to herself and write her next book. It has been an incredible year for us doing the show, and I would ask any of you out there, if this show has brought you any benefits leading you in the direction of your own empowerment, please reach out to us at spirituallynakedradio@gmail.com and let us know if and how the show has helped you in your life. We would love to hear from you, and we look forward to you joining us again in March.
For those of you who'd like to learn more about Stephanie or Solomon, or to book a private or group Solomon session, go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com.
And thanks again, everyone, and have an amazing winter.